And we're holding the 28th Cheshbon HaNefesh. And this Cheshbon is very interesting. Cheshbon HaNefesh al Adam lasas la'atzmoy kishu mitztoya al shematzavay mishtana l'ro. Cheshbon HaNefesh a person should make when he has tsar, that he sees that things are going badly. And the Rabbeinu Shalom is geyser things on him that are against his ratzon. It's not what he wanted. Very disappointed. Not only that, lamro shubateach alihim. We have a person here who is a Baal Bitachon. He feels that way at least. And he put all his faith in the Rabbeinu Shalom. And he feels that the Rabbeinu Shalom has let him down. And this is the kind of a person who is mamish, is Bitachon, is so strong to the point of Mesiris Nefesh. This is a person, he says, Kriyishma, he says, he really means it. So the man is really, really disappointed because he feels he did his utmost for the Rabbeinu Shalom, and the Rabbeinu Shalom is disappointing him every place he turns. Things are not turning out as he wished. Very disappointed, very tzibrachim. So a person in such a situation says, the Chayvus Levavus, Yasel Atzma Yichesh Ben HaNefesh Zeh Kach. Person in such a situation, this is how he should think. Whole different configuration. It's called reframing. You have to reframe the way you think. Yitin Latzma Moshel. He should give himself a picture, an illustration. What is his situation likened to a person where Reuven gave Shimon, his friend, a house as a gift. Reuven gave Shimon, his friend, a house as a gift. And Reuven gave Shimon a nice house. He wanted to have a house. You know, it's a very interesting world we live in. A lot of generosity. A certain street here in the other part of Muncie last week, and I passed by a house of a very poor man, Talmud Chacham, and I must confess, I'd lent him a nice sum of money a while ago, and the debt is long overdue. And I passed by his house, I had something to take care of across the street, I look at his house, I see he's making a major addition onto his house. And I must confess, that this nasty little thought crept through my mind. I said, what? Here, he owes me money for quite a while. We're talking years, not months. He owes me money. And he's building onto his house with my money. You know, that's very nice. Where did my money disappear to? Okay. So, I must confess, I was over. You're supposed to be done with Chavschus, you know. But what can you do? The balabatim having ashpah on me after all. It's rubbing off on me. So, b'kitzer, I did my business. I come out of the other house, and there's this gentleman. There he is, standing there. He looks at me, walks, crosses the street, and says, I know what you're thinking. There's your money inside the house, but listen, that's not your money. That's not your money. It really is not my money. He says, I'll tell you what happened. The fellow here in town, very wealthy fellow, who was building himself a big house. And he said, oh, listen, this is unbelievable. I couldn't believe this story. He was like amazing. He said, the fellow came over to me, very rich man, building himself a multi-million-dollar house. And he said, he said that he read in Rabbi Foyer's book on Tzedakah, that if you're building a new house, you should make sure to help Araman build his house. I have to look through the book. I forgot. I read it. I don't remember this anyplace. Frankly, I don't remember this anywhere. He said, before he wrote in his book that if you build yourself a new house, you got to help a poor man build his house. So he came over with me and he handed me a check for $50,000. He said, add on to your house. That's what meaning. I said, not your money. I'll pay you back. Don't worry. But the point is that. The bunch is running the show, and you never know ideas get into people's minds. So here the man's building himself a brand new house, that's Hatzaga, And he gives this man $50,000 built on fix up your house, which was quite shabby, the shanty. So he says, imagine, so there's generosity in the world. So Reuven gives Shimon a house, and he said, I want you to live in this house. Enjoy the house. And then, Mitten Baruch Abba, Reuven comes one day. Reuven, my benefactor, who likes me so much, comes with the bulldozers, and he comes with destroying those things over there, and he smashes the entire house. What's going on over here? Reuven, how can you do this to me? He gave me a beautiful house. You want me to live there, and now you're smashing the whole house? But Lamais Reuven tells me, one second, you know, this house is already inadequate. It's an old house. I'm knocking it down because I want to give you a better house. I'm rebuilding the whole house. I was thinking about remodeling it. I was just going to give you $50,000 to remodel. But no, I decided that I'm going to knock the whole house down. I'm going to rebuild you a house that's 10 times nicer. But you just have to have a little patience. You know I'm your good friend. You know I gave you the house in the first place. I am not here to hurt you. When I gave you the house, I mean, I did it for your good. I didn't, so trust me that if I'm knocking down the house now, it's only a temporary renovation, and it's better this way. It's better I should knock it down and give you a brand new house than stop add on to the house and make some, just patch it around and do some cosmetic changes. So if you know that your friend really has your best interests in mind, are you going to worry about him knocking down the house? Avadi's going to give you a better house. So to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam poured us into this world, and our bodies are our house, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam gave us a good house. So if at a later point in life, suddenly everything's going to be falling apart, and the parnasa falls apart, and the health falls apart, chas v'shalom. So it looks like Hashem betraying me. But Hashem betray us? He gave us that. We never asked God to be born. We never begged Him to be born. We never begged Him for all the breakfasts and lunch and the suppers He gave us, for all the clothing He gave us. He gave everything, Baruch Hashem. And now that it's taken away from us, it must be that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is, even if it's total, it's mamash geferlich, I'm seshmetert. Rachman Lislan, it must be that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is rebuilding the house entirely. And he has in mind to do something much better in the first place. Because everything comes from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. There's nothing to worry about. That's his demashal. So the Rabbeinu Shel Olam who borrowed Yisrael, Hashem created you. With fire and Yisrael, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam supported you. Umani Goy Yisrael, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam guided you in your life. Binyonecha, Guluyim, Vanestorim. Hashem guide you in your public life and in your private life. Everywhere you turn is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And Hashem been doing so many good things for you in your life. And there's things you don't even know about. We don't even know things that are done behind our back. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is doing us favors we never even realized. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is doing us favors that we don't even realize. Like the Novi Hosea says, V'anoichi tirgalti l'Ephraim. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam says about Ephraim, the 10 tribes. Anoichi tirgalti l'Ephraim. Tirgal means is to accustom them, to train them slowly. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, I train them like a little child. I treat Klal Yisrael like my little baby, my little liebling. V'anoichi tirgalti l'Ephraim. I took Ephraim on my shoulders. They didn't even know how many times I cured them. Just like the child, does the child know all the things the parents do? Does the child have any asaga, all the different things the parents are doing? What child doesn't know what's going on. The child doesn't realize how much money the parents paid for his tuition and for the camp. And then the bus just comes to pick up the child. The child's only a little kid. Does he realize how much negotiations the parents had with the director of the camp? Get him into the right bunk, and to get him a special Rebbe, and to get him a special diet, and to get him this, and to get him that. How much research they did to find the right camp for this kid, and how much protection they used to get him into the camp. Why does the kid know from anything? He just knows the camp bus picks him up, and again, davek l'chaim al-shalom. So do we have no asaga what the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is doing for us behind their backs? If parents, we're all parents, we all know what's going on, right? How much do we, the kids have no idea what we do behind their back. They have no idea. They have no idea what we do for them. So too, we have no idea what the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is doing for us. So if something goes wrong, it must be that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has a better plan in mind for us. He has a new design, and he's knocking down the old way in order to give us a brand new way that's even better. Azoy Dafman says, the person loses his job, Chas V'Shalom, loses his pranasa, what's happening to us, where's God? Hashem has a whole new career in charge for you. You have to rethink, you have a whole new thing entirely. You don't even realize what's waiting in store for you. It's a whole different thing. You're working too hard at your old job. You're getting older. You have no credit for that anymore. Hashem is a whole new position. You have no asaga. This, says the Chavos Levavos, is the 28th Cheshbon HaNefesh. Very short, but very sweet. And now we have the 29th Cheshbon HaNefesh. This is also... the Chavos always has his own little knetch. That mashal he gave was a very interesting mashal. There's another mashal. The 29th Cheshbon is... Now, this would appear that what we're about to mention is something he's mentioned earlier. But, again, the Chavos is always, if he made 30 different Cheshbonos, everyone is unique. And they might sound similar, but everyone has their own unique twist. He says that a person, we learned earlier, a few Cheshbonos earlier, the Chavos always told us that a person has to give more attention to his neshama than to his body. Because neshama is forever, the body is temporary, and you have to give more attention to neshama. And he says, mad if a person would take a short trip, go and go overseas for 2 weeks. Look how much you have to pack, and look how much preparation you have to make. And you're preparing for a 2 week trip, even a 1 week trip, even a 3 day. You have to pack, you have to prepare, you make phone calls, you make reservations, you make sure that when you get there, everything's ready for you. Kol shekein. The neshama is going on a long trip. The body's trip is out, brief candle in a second. Neshama, we're preparing the neshama for a trip that's a neitach mitzachim. Don't we have to make sure that there's a very fine residence for us in Olam Haba? Don't we have to make sure that we have enough mezainas, we have enough nutrition in Olam Haba? So of course it's partially said that we have to spend more time on our neshamas than our bodies, because neshama is longer lasting and this trip is much longer. That was an earlier cheshbon. Now he says like this. This is a different nekuda. He says, l'maisa, there are two parts to us. There's the body and the soul. Which one is more precious? It's a different approach. Which one is more precious? So he says, avada, our neshama, is much more precious than our body. And as a matter of fact, we should realize that our entire value, our erech, our value, our identity and our value, and that which is unique and special and chashuv about us, is not the body, it's definitely the neshama. And he says, gevalt galoshon, he says, we find some people are worth much more than other people. There's a parsha of erechim. It doesn't shtel on that. Erechim, we see that at different times in life, there are different values. Because, you know, these people are clearly valuable. We know that in our little society we live in, that there are certain people who are more valuable. Like, you know that one Sklener Rebbe is worth a lot. He's worth more than the average person. You know he's a very, very heavy hitter. One Novominsky Rebbe is worth, one general is worth more than 10,000 privates. One general is worth more than 100,000 privates. And the truth of the matter is that if Nebuch in battle, thousands and thousands of soldiers die, you're anonymous, Nebuch, okay, I don't want to be, cavalier about it, but tens of thousands of soldiers can die. They just had a cheshbon that in the First World War, there was the Battle of the Somme. The casualties in the First World War were incredible. In the battlefield, they might have exceeded the casualties in the Second World War, the battlefield casualties. One battle over one little trench over there in France, 1,200,000 people died. It's mind-boggling. Or at least with casualties. I mean, it's like cannon fodder. But who remembers 1 million, 2 million? But if one great general dies, so when Stonewall Jackson is shot accidentally, Robert Lee says, I lost my right hand. And the entire war was different. One general, Stonewall Jackson, snished the Zelbazach. It's a general is worth countless troops. Because a general is the entire, is the neshama. He's mamish the neshama of the whole army. A general is worth, a leader, a real leader is worth, individual people can even match the value of one great leader. Leaderships. He says, in ourselves there is leadership too. Our neshama is our leader. The body is the follower and the neshama is the leader. And you find someone, there's one person who is shokel keneged elf neod, there's a man who's worth 1,000 people. It's true. For Klal Yisrael, for everything, when the Goy Shevel, a person, the greater the person, what makes him greater? His mind and his soul. His neshama, his mind, his soul, his vision, is a higher plane, and therefore he's worth a thousand or more. So therefore a person has to know for himself, every individual has to know what is unique about his neshama, and why his neshama is much more valuable than his koichas agashmiyim. It's because of his ruchnias, and he brings the positive of David HaMelech, where David HaMelech's men said to David HaMelech in Shmuel Beis, near the end of David's life, they actually forbade David to go to battle. David's men, if you read the end of Shmuel Beis, they forced him into retirement. David HaMelech was forced into retirement in the end of his days. They said, "Im ki im nois nonus lo yasim elenu leg." The very Kabbalistic apostle. If we would run away from battle, they said, if we run away, who knows? You can have a lot of soldiers running away, helter skelter, very vased, who cares, what's the difference? Ki im nois nonus lo yasim elenu leg. No one will pay attention. And even if half of us will be massacred in the battlefield, no one will pay attention to that either. But you, David HaMelech, are worth 10,000. So Mamash, the Veld's word that one general is worth 10,000, often the Pasuk in Tanakh. That David HaMelech said you're worth more than 10,000. If you die, Chas V'Shalom, it'll be a big difference. Everyone knows the difference. If we die, nobody knows the difference. So therefore, let us go into the battlefield, and you stay home, because we cannot afford to lose one David HaMelech. So the truth of the matter is that this really is a very important cheshbon nefesh. You know, Rishon Salanter, he said something similar. He said, I know that I have the brains and the heart and the neshama of 1,000 people. But that doesn't make me arrogant. That only means that Hashem requires of me and demands of me and expects of me the avod of 1,000 people. This is not supposed to make a person more arrogant. But a person should know if he's not worthy. See, if a person is worthy of being a leader, he can't say, well, I'll just be a private. I'm just going to retire. And again, this is what makes the difference between Stam a Talmud Chacham and a Gadol. There's plenty of people who are Talmud Chacham today. Tonight there's plenty of Talmud Chacham, but very few recognize that they do have leadership qualities, or want to have leadership qualities. And they Nechbel HaKelem, they sit, but they really can't be. So Shach was the Gadol Ador, he still is the Gadol, he should live me well, but he's old, it's because he took a Chrayas for the door. The Yisoid is a Chrayas. Rav Shach took Achrayas for Klal Yisrael. There wasn't anything that was going on. But Rav Shach was Betokfei in his 80s and his 90s. So in those years, Rav Shach was Mahamish like the Nasi of every yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. Nothing happened with that. He took Achrayas. He could have closed the door and sat and learned. The Jain Mishkan Kop. I'm 80 years old, 90 years old. I want to retire. I'm tired of raising. Lost my 11. Well, leave me alone. And them is most people would like. There's plenty of this. I've met big Talmid Chachamim. But they lock their doors and they're not interested. Leave me alone. And you don't have to even put a sign outside. Klal Yisrael knows, Klal Yisrael feels. And just because someone's a big Talmud Chacham doesn't mean in his brain he's big. It doesn't mean his heart is big. It doesn't mean his heart expanded together with his brains. Your heart has to expand together with your Torah, like we spoke yesterday from the Tanya B'Leo. That makes you a real Gadol. In the Schus, that sucker, someone cares about Klal Yisrael, Hashem gives them extra siyata d'shmai and they're learning. That the learning taka is a higher madrega, so they can serve Klal Yisrael's Torah needs as well. But it's a gift after a person makabel himself a chrayas for Klal Yisrael. Every god is makabel a chrayas for Klal Yisrael. I think of my Rebbe Boris Sorotskin, famous story. They said when he was nifty, it's hard to believe he was only 60 years old. He was nifty. It's only 60 years old. It's hard to believe he was such a young man. So the famous story that he was very dedicated. Besides, to tells the yeshiva. That's the sign of a real Gadol, that he's not only dedicated to his yeshiva, he's dedicated to other projects just as much, maybe more. So he once came to New York City to Masada Kedushin, and he was in New York for a couple of days for some reason, because whatever. So he called up the office of Chinuch Atzmai, and he told Henoch Leibowitz, he says to him, Henoch, is there anything to do? I'm in New York for a few days, use me. If I can do anything with Chinuch Atzmai, call me. Let me go collecting money. Let me meet somebody. Whatever you want me to do, to come to a meeting, I am here. I'm at your service. Don't waste the effort. Use me. Use me. He had a gewaltige sense of a chrayas. Believe me, he could have used the rest. He was not a well person. And he could have gladly sat and avegazes and learned. But he had a sense of responsibility to Chinuch Atzmai. That was his thing. So all the Gedolei Torah, Baron Carter never stopped moving. He only cared about Lakewood. The reason why Lakewood has such Yad Deshmaya is the schus that Rabbi was mocking himself for Chinuch Atzmai and for Torah Mesorah and for Agudas Yisrael and for Vada Atzala and for Keren HaShviyas and whatever, everything he did. I'm not, I don't know about Keren HaShviyas, I just said that. No, but the other ones, yes. Rav Aharon was Meiser Nefesh. For a lot of different, those with the four I mentioned there, was the Mamash gave an incredible amount of time to these organizations. So in that schus, he was Zoyche, that when he came to Lakewood, he had Siyat Deshmaya Gvaltik, that still continues to this day, because he gave himself a Klal Yisrael, so his Torah had a Gvaltik of Siyat Deshmaya in his learning, in his Talmidim, Imam and Talmidim. It's a Gvaltik of schus. It's not easy to have a yeshiva that's Masliach and keep something Masliach. It doesn't fizz out. So he says that first, that's the makya, the erech of his neshama. David HaMelech, it was worth 10,000. You think David HaMelech didn't want to retire? Everybody wants to retire. But it's not what we're here for, to retire. And he says, Zog d'chavis levavis, v'avois na'anoshim, oilos na'anoshim, mecheiris, b'yof na'chitzoini. He says, women too. He addresses women. He says, women too, who are very pretty. There's women who are very beautiful on the outside. If they don't have internal milus ruchnias, they don't have spiritual advantages, then not only is their beauty not really beautiful, but it's actually ugly. It's mamish ugly. If the beauty on the outside is a reflection of their internal beauty, so then, in the phenomenon, a woman's not supposed to attract attention with her beauty, but the fact that the woman is beautiful, people respect her. We're not talking about men looking at her, we're talking about women looking at her. So you have some head of a seminary, you have a rebbetzin who is beautiful on the outside, and she dresses nicely, and she's what to look at, and she has a nice voice, and she speaks with poise. So then, if she's using all these things as a vehicle, so that her inner message can be conveyed in a way that people accept better, and people know, Bacher Lars Meir was telling me the other day, he comes from UCLA, Chazab Bacher, such a gavaldi. Every bracha on Meir has a story. I'm telling you, if you want to have chizuk, that we have no excuses, just invite a bracha on Meir over. His bracha, his father is not Jewish, mother hates religion, no shaykhs, doesn't want no from religion. He was brought up in Eckveld, in the middle of nowhere in the Midwest, and he happened to be at UCLA. And his first experience was, when some rabbi comes over to him in the middle of UCLA in the Shnei Kolam Veda, and he like almost forces him to put on tefillin. But this rabbi, he was unkempt, wild beard, his whole dress, his whole mahalach, his whole posture, his facial expression was a very not pleasant, not entertaining, not nice looking person. He's telling me, Mamash, he was so embarrassed that this person, he asked him if he's Jewish, and then he gets him, he jumps on him, and he has to do things in public. He says, well, I'll do it, I'm feeling in public, I was embarrassed. I never saw Tillman before in my life. So I ran away so fast, I didn't want anything to do with Judaism. A while later, another rabbi, a friend of mine took me to meet another rabbi on campus. This rabbi happened to be, I know who the rabbi is, this rabbi for the UCLA campus, happens to be clean shaven, dressed immaculately, and he's groomed, and he has a haircut, and he smiles, and he knows how to talk, and he has polish. So he wasn't a threatening person, and he was so pleasant, and he didn't demand anything of me, and everything was with sweetness, and everything was lovely. So he says, he just like a beet to honey, I just got me in, and before I knew it, I was learning and davening, and I was a different person. And he sent me off to Israel, and I'm the mensch. So this rabbi, the second rabbi, his external good looks was a reflection of his internal beautiful neshama, and it helped him convey his message, and it was not threatening, and people who need to be first attracted by the external were attracted, and then they made the trip to the internal. This particularly, Siyat Deshmaya, a rabbi, this same rabbi, he was on the campus of UCLA. So I didn't meet this bachur, you have to meet him. The latest rage in our Sameach is a new bachur just came from Oklahoma. Bachur, I didn't know shaykhs to anything whatsoever. But he picked up a Bible once, and he read the Bible that the Jews are the chosen people. He said, I'm Jewish, I'm the chosen person. So he started keeping everything that's in the Bible. He wants to keep everything in the Bible since he's 12 years old. I said in the Bible, you shouldn't cut your sideburns. So he has sideburns till his jaws. Says in the Bible that you don't work on the Sabbath. He doesn't work on Sabbath anymore. But he only has Tarshik Sabbath. He's living all alone in Oklahoma, some fashtekta place in Oklahoma. And then what was the, and then now the kid is, he's in the high school, he's a junior in high school, and what happened? Like, he really got yearning for Yiddishkeit, so he put out a message on the internet, on the web, on the Jewish web. Can someone help me? I want to go further in my Judaism. Will someone help me? And this rabbi at UCLA, somehow his name is on the internet, and somehow this boy like sent this message to a couple of rabbis. He just took a random names of rabbis. No rabbis responded to him, but this particular rabbi, Rabbi K, got the message on his email just by chance, because he just sent it at random to a few rabbis whose name happened to be on the directory over there. There's hundreds of rabbis, and this rabbi got it. He told the boy, I think the boy went first to L.A., not sure, but they got the message last week, and by Wednesday he was Nar Sameach in Muncie. Get them out of the Muncie. So I have to meet him yet, though. But the kids, he can do a lot of things in his life. If you're out to grab Yiddish and the Shamas, if you're out to save people, take a chrayas, so you're out there, do what you have to do. So back to the women, he says, women who are beautiful, if the beauty, the external beauty, is an extension of their internal beauty and their ruchnias, that's great. But if she has beauty on the outside and on the inside she's not spiritual and she's not with God, then the beauty is not only not beauty, it's ugly, because it's going to trap men, it's going to attract other men, it's going to make them, it's going to tempt them. So that beauty is not only is not beautiful, it is maguna, it's repulsive. So he's up there. And that the Pshat Shlomo HaMelech says, Nezem Zov Baf Chazir Isha Yofa Vesoras Tam Pasuk in Mishnah Yud Aleph. Just like it's ludicrous to have a golden ring in the snout of a pig, of a swine, pardon the expression, Nezem Zohav Biav Chazir. Isn't it ridiculous to have a Nezem Zohav Biav Chazir? Not only is it ridiculous, it's actually dangerous. Because it means to say, a chazir is repulsive, a chazir is also. So why does a golden nose ring do for the chazir? Maybe someone will think the chazir is not worthwhile. Hey, this chazir has a golden ring. So the golden ring might be a masquerade to cover up for the chazir's intrinsic repulsiveness. So too, Isha Yofa Vesoras Tam. So too, a beautiful woman who is gorgeous on the outside, but nothing on the inside. Fakert, now her beauty is going to be used to be machshel people, and it's going to be used to entice people, to seduce them, to do averis. Because Fakert, they think she's beautiful on the outside, you think maybe it's something on the inside. And it's really empty on the inside. And the Gemara compares it to a Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says, a Talmud Chacham. The name of the Gemara says, a Talmud Chacham who has a year of Shemayim. A Talmud Chacham with that year of Shemayim is like a Nezem Zov Be'af Chazir. He's called a Nozuf. Why he's called a Nozuf? What does Nozuf mean? Nozuf means repulsive. Nozuf is also an acronym for Nezem Zohav Ba'ach. Nozuf. The Gemara says, a Talmud Chacham with a year of Shemayim. So on the outside, oh, he's this is a big danger. On the outside, he's saying grace to Torah, this Talmud Chacham. He's a good voice. And he's very, very eloquent. And he sounds good. And he's varfing Rambams. He's varfing Rishonim. He's varfing Achronim. Oh, he sounds so good, this Talmud Chacham. But on the inside, he doesn't have Yerushalayim or enough Yerushalayim. And it's not Yerushalayim, Kodemus, Lechachmasai. And his knowledge is far more than his Yerushalayim. It's a little Yerushalayim, but nothing compared to his wisdom. So it's a false sales pitch. People think that if he's on the outside, so Gevaltik, but on the inside, is also Gevaltik. No. A Talmud Chacham who has Torah on the outside, no Yerushalayim on the inside, like the beautiful woman who doesn't have any Yerushalayim on the inside, and like the Chazir who has a beautiful nose ring, it looks beautiful, nose ring, but inside is the Chazir. This is a Talmud Chacham, Shem B'Yerushalayim, Nezem Zohav Ba'af Chazir. And of course, Talmud Melech says, Sheker Achein Ve'Avla Yoifi, Isha Yerasa Denoyi Tis Halol, the charm is a lie, and the beauty is worthless. A woman who has Yerushalayim, she is praised, not only for Yerushalayim, but even for external beauty. Then the beauty has value. So the main thing is, says, the Chavz Levavis, the extent that a person understands that the erech of his neshama, the value of his soul is far surpasses the value of his body, to that extent, you have to dedicate yourself to cultivating the neshama, and realizing that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam looks at you in the morning, Avad, you have to look good on the outside. A yid, every yid has to be groomed on the outside. And no revival bigdoy. And there's the beautiful Dvar of Yaakov Emden. It's such a gavaltic yisod. Why is the Talmud Chacham Sheish Dorvava Bigdo Chayev Misa? Talmud Chacham with a stain on his jacket is Chayev death? Because if Eino Makvid Al Revava Al Bigdoy Eich Yakvid Al Revava Al Nishmasai, if he doesn't care about a stain on his clothing, which you can see, he certainly is not Makvid on the stain on his Nisham, which you can't see. So I care, the Talmud Chacham, by taking care of the stain on the outside, it shows that he's a disciplined person. If I make sure on the outside I'm beautiful, I want to do it because this leads me into the inside. But if he doesn't care about a stain on the outside, sure he's not going to care about a stain on the inside. So therefore you should be doyeg more in your neshama. Avad, you have to take care of your guf. Avad, the body is important. But you have to worry about your neshama more. And here's the final line he says. It's easier, listen to this, whoa. It's easier to cure your body from the worst sickness than to cure your neshama from its sickness. Spiritual sickness is harder to cure than physical sickness. So all the doctors here in the room, I hope you realize that the doctors of the soul doctors, the doctors of divinity have a harder job than the doctors of the physiology, the biology doctors, because the Zedekhov Zavavis, a sickness of the soul is harder to cure than a sickness of the body. How do you like that? Because the body is only attacked by antibodies and by viruses and by germs.
No.
The germ. But the neshama is attacked by the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is the hardest thing in the world to fight. The Yetzer Hara is the biggest sickness you can imagine. You can't combat the Yetzer Hara. It's geferlich. So Avadi says that a choyli nefesh is much worse than a choyli guf. It's interesting. And this, what Shlomo Melo said, ruach yish yichalka machaleyu. Ruach necheya miyisena. Listen to this. It's a famous pasuk. I conclude with this. Ruach yish yichalka machaleyu. A person's spirit will support him in his sickness. In other words, if you're sick in the body, no matter how sick you are, Rechman Zlan, people with iron lungs, even today, Rechman Zlan, you know, polio is over, Baruch Hashem, but there's a thing called post-polio syndrome, where you can still get, a few people to this day still can have polio and still suffer from polio even after they recover when they were a child. Post-polio syndrome. So people can spend their life still in the iron lung, Rahman. Can you imagine a worse prison than that? There's a prison that no human being put you in. If any prison in the world, even in Iraq, would put people in Vietnam, they put people in iron lungs for a full time iron lung, there would be an uproar from the Geneva Conference, the Chayach. It's inhumane. I hear people are being put in iron lungs for their own toilets, but what a jail. But yet, there's people in such iron lungs, Rahman Lazlan, and they still doing things, and they're writing books, and they're running their lives, and Stephen Hawking, who can only, I think, do something with his mouth, and with little pencils, writing books, brief histories of time, not so brief histories of time. Stephen Hawking is one of the world's greatest physicists in Oxford, Cambridge. He's totally paraplegic, totally disabled, but his soul and his mind, they will support him even in the worst physical crisis. Ruach yishechalka machleyu. That's why it's such an important mitzvah, bikachaylam, to keep a person's spirit up. A person's spirit can support him through the worst physical crisis. But ruach necheya miyisiena. But when the crisis is not in the body, it's in the neshama, in the ruach, in the spirit. A great spirit can hold up a weak body. But if the spirit itself is crushed, ruach necheya miyisiena. Who can take care of it? The soul, the spirit can take care of the body, but the body cannot take care of the spirit. A spirit, a depression, a spiritual depression, a mental depression, a spiritual depression is far worse than a physical incapacitation. And it says also in Mishnah, we call Mishma the Tzar Libecha, which Shlomo says, more than anything, guard your heart, because from your heart comes all, everything of life comes out of the heart. So the main thing is our neshama, prisoners to recognize how special the neshama is, and therefore spend more time on it, I realize that even though it's not your value, we have to know our value. Can't shrug off our value. I know I can accomplish more things. I know I'm smarter than most people. I'm smarter than a lot of people. It's like Joe Smanta says, I know I'm smarter than 1,000 people. That only makes me responsible to serve Hashem like 1,000 people. This is the 29th meditation. So we're,